Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a better start to your day. The Titans finished their day last night. As you can imagine, we are going to be discussing a lot of that today. We've got you just made the list at high noon. Of course, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and pick six in the final hour. We will hear the head coach's press conference coming up at the bottom of this hour. But right now, we discuss what happened last night in the 34-17 loss to the Colts. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in sunny Smyrna right now. Beautiful day. Willie Donick is hanging over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe out in Bellevue. And Elijah Campbell is back at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We talked about the record. We went season by season. Indianapolis coming to Nashville since the team has been in this market. It was 5-13. It wasn't pretty going into last night's game and coming out of the game. It's not any prettier. It just got worse. Now 5-14 all time, Indianapolis coming to our city and taking on the Titans, and they have come away with victories 14 out of the 19 times. Not good. And last night's second half, not good.
It just got away so fast. That was the thing about it. It was just sort of a cave-in. You could see it coming, and we'll get into it a lot today on some of the particulars of why, but it is interesting how you can go from feeling okay at half. You're like, okay, a lot of nice things, some things that are troublesome, but you're right in it. Did anybody expect the final score to be 34-17 at the half? I thought
I didn't.
This one's going right down to the last possession, and you know, maybe they can get a tip ball, get a turnover, and find a way, but it went the other way, and it went the other way in a hurry.
Well, and think about it, too. And, you know, to start the third quarter, Indy gets the ball, and, you know, they're moving it, and the Titans make a big stop there on fourth down, and you think, all right, well, Indy's gone for it again on fourth down. Doesn't work this time. That's going to shift some momentum, and then the Titans can't get anything going offensively on their next possession, and then you have that's just when the wheels start to fall off with the wonderful punt job that we'll get into, yeah. A 17-yarder, and that's when it all started going downhill. But I thought when they made that fourth down stop on the goal line, I'm like, all right, there you go. That's what they needed coming out of the locker room. They can really shift the momentum, now move the ball downfield, and they just couldn't do it, and it just got away from them there. And it was every facet. And I know we're going to hear – probably six times today, have to play better, have to coach better. Well, no crap. Thank you, Captain Obvious. That's something that has to happen because all three phases definitely factored into that loss last night.
Well, I'm glad you said all three phases because the special teams was catastrophic, as we know.
Yes.
That was the headline. But, you know, both other facets, offense and defense, certainly defense, but even the offense – that is going to have to carry this team. I think the more you watch, the more you realize that the offense can't just be okay. It's going to have to be great for them to get where they want to go, and the defense still has to get better. But all three contributed. Here's a question I had. Chase, you just sort of defined, you know, the biggest stretch of the game when the Titans defense was on the field to start the third quarter for 15 plays, and they get the stop. You know, right there is where you have a chance to pick it up. If you're the offense, yep. and they didn't do it, right? And I think the unfortunate thing was Henry got, I don't know what happened to his shoulder, but he had to come out.
Yep.
After he comes out and carries from the 1 yard line, 5, 11, and 9 to get out to the 20 yard line. You got second and 1 from the 20. He comes out, and then Foreman gets stopped. Tannehill gets sacked, and then the bad punt happens, and the nightmare begins. That was such a big swing. But Let me ask you guys this. What do you guys estimate between the end of the first half, where the Colts had the ball for 13 plays, the two-minute warning, they end up kicking a field goal. That drive seemed to take forever. It was only 2 minutes and 54 seconds on the clock, but real time, it was a long time. There was the two-minute warning. There was timeouts. There was a bunch. Then you have the whole halftime, which I guess is it still 12 minutes, or have they added a minute? I don't know. But that's that. And then the 15 plays to start the second half. How much time do you think the Titans' offense went in real time without running a play? It had to be about an hour, didn't it?
Well, quite honestly, the offense has got to do a better job because they know the deficiencies of the defense, and the defense having so many troubles getting off the field, as we have talked about all season long. It's well documented. I'd like to know, what is the time of possession the Titans have on offense? It's got to be at or near the bottom. It's got to be.
Well,
their time of possession is just not good. And if you don't have a good defense, then what do offenses try to do? Stay on the field longer. Give your defense. That defense looked absolutely gassed in the second half. They were out there a ton.
Well, that's my point. The Titans' offense never had a chance with the ball because of the last two drives. You know, they 13 plays and then 15 plays. There's nothing they can do if the defense can't get off the field.
Well, so, I'm saying when they do have a chance, Willie, I'd like to see them sustain drives and keep the ball longer. Let the defense sit and rest. Keep the defense off the field. I don't think they do a very good job of sustaining drives. I don't think their time of possession is really poor. We need to find out. It's got to be at the bottom of the league.
Well,
their time of possession.
I've been saying it for weeks. They have been at the bottom of the league.
Oh,
remember the stat we had the other day? They're 28th, and they're not going to go up.
Well, that's my point. That's got to get better.
Yeah, but the offense is still really good. They don't get the ball.
The offense the last three games has not been really good.
Well, they've been playing the two of them are great. They played the Steelers defense, the Bears defense, and the Colts defense. Those are three of the best defenses in the league.
Right.
If you're going to be a playoff team, who are you going to play in the playoffs?
Exactly.
Right, but the offense can't be expected to score 40 points against those kind of defenses. The defense has
to
pick up the slack.
Drives.
So here's the... Well, they do sustain drives. They scored 17 points in the first half.
How can you sustain drives if you just said you're at the bottom of the league in time of possession?
Because the defense can't get off the field. Here's the plays for the Colts' first five drives of the game, okay? 11 plays, then another 11, then 8, then 13, and then 15. And then the next two drives are after the catastrophic punts or, punts and missed field goals. One of them, they didn't have to go on the field because it was a touchdown. But it was four plays and a touchdown.
Okay.
So the defense cannot
give us the Titans. Give us the Titans drives.
Okay. The Titans drives are fine up until Henry hurt his shoulder on the critical. That was where it went awry. They've got to keep the ball when they get it back on the one. That's their chance to get back in the game. Up 17-13 with the ball. That's where it went haywire. And Henry's shoulder, I don't know what happened there. But here are the Titans' first drives of the game. Took the opening drive, went right down and scored. 6 plays, 67 yards. Any complaints with that?
What's the time of possession?
So you're saying they have to score shorter?
What was the time of possession?
3 minutes and 10 seconds.
3 minutes and 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay,
so what's
6
they
plays.
Scored. You don't want them to score?
Okay, I'm just saying. But you're telling us the Colts, 11 plays, 15 plays.
Right.
How long are those possessions? 6, 7 minutes. That's chewing up half of a quarter.
That's right.
That time of possession is 3 minutes.
So it's the defense. The offense can't do anything about how the Titans are deciding to play defense, which is sit back and get picked apart. That's really what it is. They don't want to give up any big plays. They don't feel like they can cover people. I don't know what it is, but they sit back and they allow themselves to get picked apart. And it takes time.
There's nothing wrong with 6 plays.
It keeps the Titans' offense off the field.
For a touchdown for 3 minutes, if that's what you're going to do the rest of the game. But guess what happens when you don't do that the rest of the game?
Okay,
then you've got huge problems.
So the offense has to make up for all of that against a really good defense?
Well, what's your alternative? What's your solution?
All right, well, okay.
Your defense is terrible and your special teams is terrible, well, guess what? That applies pressure to the offense. So, yeah, it's kind of up to them. That's it.
And they score touchdowns. They had 2 touchdowns and a field goal on their first 4 possessions of the game in the first half. They had the ball 4 times in the first half. They scored two touchdowns in the field goal. What else do you want against the Colts defense?
What was the time of possession of those three
Who cares? They scored.
you're not answering the question. What was the time of possession?
Okay, 3:10, and then they went three and out, a minute 48. Then they had 4:24 and 4:55, an eight-play drive.
So
that's a field goal and a nine-play drive that scores a touchdown.
What is that, four drives for about 8 minutes, 9 minutes?
Oh, I'm sorry that they didn't keep the ball for 15 minutes when they scored a touchdown. If I'm the offense, I'm supposed to apologize for that performance in the first half?
If that's the hand you're dealt, then you have to do things a little bit differently. I mean,
what do you want them to do? So you want them to run the ball more? They have the best running game in the league. They have the best running back in the league. It is not the offense's problem that the defense is on the field constantly giving up long, sustained drives. That is the problem.
Right.
And they can't get off the field. They get picked apart, and they can't get stops.
There's nothing new
Phillip Rivers, who has been very average, it's a very average running game, they got picked apart. They got destroyed.
New. We've watched it all season long.
Right. And so I don't know what the they're playing the Colts defense. They're not playing the type of defense that you can sit back and just choose how you want to go about it. You got to score any way you can against them.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. You got to give Frank Wright credit for going for it on those fourth downs because, yeah, the Titans were getting – they were actually getting stops on third down. They went – Indy went 4 of 12 on third down, but then the problem was they were 3 of 5 on fourth. So they knew the weaknesses that they could expose with the Titans. And, you know, I think you're both right. I know that I'm being Switzerland here, but I do think you both are making valid points. The Titans have to have some longer drives, but if the offense is working and they're getting to the end zone on some of those drives, then okay, you have to take that. But the defense is going to have to. I mean, this is going to be the topic of conversation all year, and it's not going to get fixed. I mean, at this point, you're halfway through the season. This is what it is. It's just, can you get some sort of semblance of a good defense and hope for the best when it comes to a playoff run? But right now, I mean, looking at the last four games, I mean, they're 1-3 in their last four. That's simply not good enough. That you don't need to worry about booking your tickets to an AFC championship game because that's not happening.
That's
if
bad.
This team keeps up. It's bad. Thank
you,
Homer.
Look, by the way, the fourth down decisions were easy because they were 4th and 1, 4th and 2 deep in your opponent's territory. Those are no-brainers for Frank Reich. And knowing what he knows
knowing
about
what
the
he
Titans
does.
Defense.
Right. Plus, that's how Frank Reich does
that's
it.
That's a no-brainer.
That's
by the way,
time.
The Colts know that. Phillip Rivers knows that, right? That
sure.
Offense knows. If
they're
we get even
it, yeah.
close, we're going for it. I
right.
mean,
that's their,
give me
that's
a break.
Their M.O., and it's
we're
been
not trotting out Rodrigo, but here – here's the thing. Of course, you don't ever apologize for touchdowns. You don't ever apologize for putting points on the board. But I'm just simply saying, if you know all that about your defense, and it's only going to take you 3 minutes, and you're at the bottom of the league in time of possession, I don't know how you think this is going to get fixed. You were so offended that I said, if this team loses to the Bears, they're a fraud. And now we're sitting here seeing all these things that we're talking about that are there. They're not going away. But yet you seem to be offended by their fraud. Now if you say they're a fraud, what do you think? Are you still as offended today, or do you think this team has got real problems?
They have problems, but I'm not going to sit here and say they've got to change their offense. You act like they're running the spread, no huddle, and up-tempo, and scoring too quick. That's not the problem. The defense has got to give them some help, and I think we've now defined that the offense – has to be great every week. And that's a lot to ask when you're playing an elite defense, which the Colts are. And that's why I look at and then, of course, the other – we're overlooking the obvious here. The special teams is the worst in the league. There's Titans special teams are the worst in the league right now.
All right,
there's no way
this.
Around that.
Let's come back and touch – because, I mean, you've got a coach that coaches special teams, right? And what is his job?
To coach special teams?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to go a little bit further with that on the other side, because if that's your job and this is what we're seeing, I mean, we can start talking about everything that's been happening. It's not just last night. Everything that's been happening, then
no, for the
what
season,
are we talking
statistically,
about?
Statistically, they're the worst in the league.
So we'll do that on the other side. Mike Vrabel at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I think this game, for me, came down to the special teams. For the Titans, I mean, as my daughter would say, P.U. Like, they stink. Like, they stunk last night. They haven't They've been stinking most of the year. I'll get into Gostkowski later, but listen to this little series of scenarios here, Key. So punter Trevor Daniel, okay, elevated from the practice squad before the game to replace Ryan Allen. Ryan Allen, a pretty, you know, good kicker for this team, but struggled in his first start. Tennessee, 10-yard line. He kicked a 17-yard punt. It gave the Colts incredible field position. Four plays later, Doink. 27 yards later, Hines makes a TD for a 2017 lead. Then the Titans go three and out. Next drive, Daniels gets his punt blocked by EJ Speed. TJ Carey scored a touchdown, 27-17. Bam, in the span of like 2 minutes, that kind of lead. Then I don't know when the last time Gostkowski has made a field goal kick. I mean, it seems like he's struggling. He missed two extra points. I mean, he missed one after the punt got blocked. Watching their special teams was dreadful last night, and I know every Titan fan is frustrated with that throughout the course of this.
That's a basketball guy. That's Jay Will. That's Subin, Key, Jay Will, their morning show on ESPN.
Well, let's be honest.
It's pretty easy to see their issues.
My aunt and uncle could have done that breakdown right there. I mean, it was pretty obvious. When you kick a 17-yard punt and you get one blocked and you miss a field goal, that's not good. You can't win.
So what is that saying about your aunt and uncle? Do they not follow sports?
Depends on which aunt and uncle
you're
talking about. I have a couple aunt and uncles that could do a pretty good job. Others don't pay that much attention. But
so
I mean, that was pretty – that was eye-opening how bad – that was, and I think we're all asking ourselves the same question. What was so bad about what Kelly did the week before
as
the punter? Or Allen, sorry.
So a simplistic question with a simplistic answer, Chase, which was the right answer. But if that's your job, and if guys are missing assignments and extra points getting blocked, punts are getting blocked in return for touchdowns, and all these breakdowns are happening, bad snaps, who's in charge of that?
Craig Aukerman.
That's a coach, right?
How about the guy catching the ball and
punting?
That's
a coach. That's their job. That's what they are in charge of. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we're talking about, if that's what your job description is, and we've heard Mike Vrabel and John Robinson talk about players that they've let go because they just weren't holding up their end of the bargain. Well, can't you say the same thing about what's going on right now? I mean, this has been going on for a while. This was not last night. Special teams has been a disaster for a good while. Is this the same set of standards being held with the coaching staff that there are with the players?
I wonder that. I mean, listen, if a coach or a player, it doesn't matter. If you're not doing your job, then you need to get out of the way because there's somebody else that's going to come in and do it. And if that is what Mike Vrabel and John Robinson determine, that Craig Aukerman is not getting the job done, which to me it appears he's not, I think it's pretty apparent at this point, then they need to find somebody else to do that job. Now, I'm not going to just say put it on Aukerman and not on the players. I don't understand why Trevor Daniel was doing the punting last night. I don't understand that at all. And I want Vrabel to answer that question of whose decision that was. Was that his? Was that Aukerman's? Was that J-Rob's? Was there an injury we didn't know about? Is it COVID-related? I mean, that question needs to be answered, and I don't want to hear.
Well, Mike Vrabel said last night that he was beat out
okay.
in practice. He said last night in the
right.
postgame
and
press
I've never,
conference.
I've absolutely never heard that in my
– Yeah, I need
way,
more than
that.
I didn't know it was a competition.
Week, on a short week.
On a short week. That's
beat out in practice?
Right.
Is it possible that Logan
Who made
Woodside
that determination?
Could beat out Ryan Tannehill in a couple practices? I didn't think that the punter who did the job last week would have competition that week in practice. That just does not fly with me. I don't get that.
Yeah,
do you guys
either.
Agree? Like, there are certain positions where, I mean, this stage of the season, are you really competing? You know what your role is. The guy did the job the week before. That was just dropped out of the sky for me. I just assumed that I missed something, and the guy tweaked a hamstring or something to lose
I heard
his job.
That. I heard him say that, too, last night. I'm like, who's making that determination? You, Aukerman? Like, what do you mean he got beat out in practice?
Well, I would say that ultimately the head coach is – and the GM are the two that make the decisions like that. It's not a coach.
Right. Well, it was a bad decision. And I could have told you that even without a shank. Or I mean, what did they need? What else did they need to see?
Well, clearly Trevor Daniel Allen didn't show practice. You know, in practice, he looks really good. I mean, that's the only thing I could take away from it.
So does Jared Garantano. How's that worked out?
Look, there is something too. Some guys practice better than others. In fact, wasn't that the knock on Dobbs? Remember,
Excuse me.
I'm getting choked up over this. It was, why aren't you playing him? Well, we need him to practice better. Oh, okay. And by the way, it's very clear that Mike Vrabel puts a ton of stock into practice. We've talked about this on the show. You listen to his words. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm saying that it is very clear. He has talked about why guys play and why guys don't play. Because they didn't have a good – why was that guy a healthy scratch? We didn't practice well. We didn't like what we saw in practice. And I don't have a problem with that because that's why you practice. But I'm just saying this coaching staff and this coach in particular puts a lot of stock into practice. We're not there. I don't know. Was Allen, who bombed him on Sunday, was he a little shaky at times? Yeah, but he also had some really good punts on Sunday. Is in practice, is he shanking them all over the place and Trevor Daniels hitting 65-yarders? I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is John Robinson said that Trevor Daniel was a FedEx driver and he came in and had to go through all the protocols and they weighed him and he was like 25 pounds heavier. And I think John Robinson's line was, I guess he's been eating a lot of biscuits at Cracker Barrel, which there's nothing wrong with that. But I have no idea why the change made on a short week too, which is a little bit interesting. And oh, by the way, all the guys that they're carrying at that position right now, don't you guys think that's a little strange? Chewing up roster spots with you know, the way they've been chewing them up with this position or positions?
Right.
I do think it's strange, for sure. I can't remember. Of course, this year is different, as we know. But still, I think if you got a guy and he does the job, you keep him in there. They also changed the long snapper. Now, let's also say that the block punt is not all on the punter. Although,
no.
If you look at the drop that he had, that didn't look like it was going to be a good punt either.
Well first of all, both of them should have been blocked. The shank should have been blocked. Could have been blocked too.
They had trouble protecting the punter, so that should be said.
Whose job is that? Once again, whose job is that to make sure
the guy's on the left side of the line?
Well, yeah, but there's someone that's their job to make sure everybody knows what to do.
Okay, but Kalu has been one of their best special teams players. So I don't. Did he forget how to communicate and slide and take the inside guy?
Well, last
and all the
night
things
the broadcast, Aikman didn't say it was Kalu. He said it was Long.
Well, it's
Long
both.
Was the issue.
Yeah,
right?
Long
those
was
guys
in
have played a lot of special
said
teams.
It was more about Long
I don't
than Kalu.
Well, either one, that's a basic thing that they've done pretty well since Vrabel has been there. It's mystifying how everything has cascaded. So it's not just the punter and the kicker. It's really everything. If you look at every special teams, they've had breakdowns in the return game, the coverage of punts and kicks, now getting a punt blocked. Really, all facets have let them down.
Well, the kicking game's right. Got to change. It's got to. I mean, 8 misses. Every time Gostkowski trots out on the field, everybody now has the same reaction of crossing your fingers. Oh my gosh, what's going to happen here? Look, if that's the feeling you have every time your kicker trots out on the field, you've got the wrong kicker in place. Period.
Yeah, it's time.
It's just time. I mean,
even the one he missed. We were talking about how he's sort of down to the last. He can't have another game like this. You know, as bad as it was going. Right, it was really against them, but to their credit, they put together enough of a drive to where if he hits that field goal, they're down by 7 early in the fourth quarter, and they still got a shot. Right, they're not. I don't know if they're going to win because the defense had not stopped the Colts all night, really. But you got a shot, and instead, it's game over. As soon as he misses that, it's over.
It's over. You knew it. We will come back. Hear what the head coach has to say about last night's 34-17 loss again to the Colts, who now move into first place in the AFC South. We will do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint. Smoother than smooth. All right, here's the head coach, Mike Vrabel, reacting to last night's 34-17 loss to the Colts, and this is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville.
You know, guys fighting, competing. We're going to try to get better, and obviously some of those things may happen. You know, changes may happen. Hopefully the changes that we coach and play better.
Jeff? Mike, I know you always say you don't want front runners. How do you keep guys from getting discouraged after losing 3 of 4? And what do you hope the team's mindset will be when they come back? I
don't really even look at it like that. I try to look at it as 1 week at a time. You know, whether you win or you lose, don't really, you know, approach the job that way. I'm going to approach it by getting these guys back in here on Monday and coaching and showing the things that we did well and the things that we have to fix that are going to get us beat, that did get us beat. I think that you have to, some of that you can't coach that type of mentality. You're going to have to continue to find and add those types of people into your organization. So, you know, we certainly don't want front runners, and we're going to have guys that are going to be willing to get going and fix the things that showed up and keep moving on, keep moving forward.
David Buckley.
Mike, you talk often about the need to continually get better throughout a season. How comfortable are you with how much this team has improved to this point?
Well, probably not enough, David. You know what I mean? I think that's something that I think was visually evident, last year around this time. And so, you know, we've got to find ways to do that. You know, the practices are structured differently. We've talked about the ability to improve without as many live or speed reps, you know, because that's, you know, at this point in the season, you know, that's hard to get, you know, like you would in training camp. So, you know, that's going to have to be something that I'm going to have to take a hard look at it, how we do that, you know, how we, you know, are teaching and what we're getting out of the practice tempo that we do have on some days. Because it's not as fast as, you know, what it would be in training camp or earlier in the season, just based on, you know, how you feel as a professional football player in November.
Eric?
Mike, what have you seen from the punt coverage the past 2 weeks? Where is that unit struggling now that it wasn't earlier in the season, and how correctable are some of the issues there in your mind?
Well, I mean, when you talk about, you can't cover it until you punt it. And so if teams are going to come after our punter, we're going to have to be able to protect them first. And then, you know, we hit a good ball on the first one and, you know, went down there and forced them to fair catch it. You know, thought we hit a good ball. And then, you know, I'm sure we'd like to have the one back that, you know, we didn't hit as well. And then, you know, there was some pressure on that one as well. And then on the one that ultimately got blocked. So I can't tell you how we were going to cover, you know, the last two. I could only tell you how we covered the first one. And I thought we were pretty active last week in punt coverage. And, you know, most of the time it comes down to winning on the edges, you know, with those guys on the outside. Those are going to be the guys that can affect it the easiest, because they're the ones that are getting the free release or, you know, working against single press or, you know, even double press, but they don't have to protect anybody first. So that's something that's going to have to get better, along with a lot of other things, Eric.
Jeff?
Mike, on the switch to punter, how much were you able to see Daniel? How much was hang time for Allen in the previous game a factor? And then what about holding, the idea of having to have a third different holder in a third game? How much of a concern was that going into that switch?
Yeah, I mean, we evaluated him last week. You know, we evaluated, you know, those guys extensively, and we made a decision. You know, I think some of the hang time probably that's part of the evaluation process when you, when you're talking about, you know, kickers, punters, you know, and I don't, you know, I think we all felt like that the holding wasn't a factor. Having looked at it, I don't think that that was a factor in the one that we weren't able to make. So we're just going to have to keep working and be confident in the decisions that we make based on the evaluation and practice, you know, and try to get that area shored up, whether that be with the guys that are protecting, the guys that are covering, the guys that are snapping, or the guys that are kicking.
One more real quick. I'm sorry. Can I just throw one quick follow, Mike? Also, what about just, you got a guy who's doing it on game day and a guy who hasn't been? I mean, how much of a, I guess, concern or discussion point is that, that you can see something in practice, but that doesn't necessarily translate to a, you know, to a prime time game?
Well, I'm not, you know, it's a prime time game, a Sunday game. You know, we think that practice is pretty important. You know, how you practice is going to lead to how you play. That's not always the case 100%. There's no guarantees. We all understand that. You know, we don't have the luxury to second guess. You know, Joe, I think that that's something that you guys do really well, and I appreciate you guys where you guys come from and the approach that you guys take to your job. The approach that we take to our job is we try to get the team as ready as we can. We tell them early in the week that how you practice is going to determine, you know, your availability for the game and who plays and who dresses. And so we've seen guys that have competed in practice and gone out there and done well. But it just, you know, we made a decision. You know, we could have held them to the field goal on the one punt that we had bad. But the decision for the punter, what wasn't the reason that we ended up giving up the block for a touchdown. So, you know, that's all the things that happen in a football game. You know, there's a lot of plays that end up contributing to you winning or losing. You know, so in all three phases, we're going to have to play a much more complementary football game. And I think that was evident.
Paul.
Mike, how come trouble areas seem to be so slow to fix? Third down defense was a 7-week problem. Guskowski's untimely misses continue. Then you see something crop up like drops versus the Bears, and it stays a problem against the Colts. What does that tell you when these things appear and then linger?
I'm not sure.
John?
Mike, on another on the kicking front, I guess, you know, Ryan Allen, you know, did at least a decent job, and he loses his job in a short week of practice. Guskowski has been inconsistent through the season, but, you know, is still holding on to his position. Is there inconsistency at all there, do you think, or an appearance of inconsistency?
Yeah, I mean, we're just trying to put the guys out there that we feel like give us the best chance to win. You know, Steve's hit some big kicks for us. You know, he's missed some. You know, I know he's had a lot that he'd like to have back, and you know, we're going to have to continue to evaluate that and see what our options are and make a decision.
Terry? Buck?
Harry, we lost you.
Hey, Mike. With Guskowski, is there any explanation for why he would be so much better from 50-plus than he has been from inside of 50 this year?
I wouldn't I wouldn't have the slightest clue, Buck. I really want it.
Mike.
Hold on, Terry. I mean,
early in the year, Darren.
Hold on, Terry. We'll get to you in a second, but Buck, I want it. You know what I mean? I have every number that would tell you, you know, whether you're
– early in the year, Derek was getting a lot of touches.
So, Buck, whether you're shooting a free, you know, in basketball or whether you're you know, trying to make a putt, you know, the closer you get to the target, I guess the numbers would say that, and they do say that you got a better chance of making it. So I can't tell you. I wouldn't know. Certainly just have to kick better in all fronts.
Terry, you want to try again?
I want it.
Teron?
Yeah, Coach. Last night, plus 21 in the second half. Obviously, special teams played a big part in that, but they moved the football pretty well, too. What was really the main difference? Because it was kind of like it was a tale of two halves.
They came out. They ran the football. We got a stop down there. They stopped us. A couple costly penalties. You know, it was really just a couple series there.
Can you hear me this time, Mike?
Third quarter. Unfortunately, yeah, Terry, I can hear you. You know, I mean, with the penalty that pushed us back, then the miss, you know, when it was a 10-point game, we could have had the ball, you know, on the 7-yard line. They backed us up there with a penalty, and, you know, it kind of snowballed from there. The momentum, we couldn't make any plays that could, you know, take the momentum back away from Teron. So, you know, proud of the, you know, I mean, I'm proud of most of the effort, you know, I think throughout the night, especially in some of the short yardage situations down on the goal line, there were some really great efforts, you know, and then we ran the ball at times and just offensively and just, that rhythm that we talked about was there at times and then wasn't at others. You know, it just wasn't a consistent, well-played game by us or well-coached game by us in both fronts.
And there's so much talent as far as your pass catchers are concerned, but it doesn't seem like from week to week there isn't a guy that you could always say, hey, that's the one, he's going to come through for me. Is that frustrating, and do you – start to challenge them, like, hey, listen, I need you to be that guy for me each and every week. You are talented enough to do it.
Well, everybody in the National Football League is talented. I mean, I think that's – we talk about this all. It's not going to be, you know, a big school versus small school. We're going to have to go out there and compete and win one-on-one. You know, that's what this league ultimately comes down to. They can't double everybody. So you're going to have to win one-on-one. You know, and I think everybody's job is to, you know, when you're talking about the passing game, is to be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there and winning and competing and winning contested catches, you know, for the quarterback. And when it's not perfect, trying to make the quarterback right, you know, understanding man coverage, zone coverage, and, you know, we'll keep working. And those guys, you know, we're going to keep, you know, getting the ball to AJ, getting the ball to Corey, Janu, finding ways to get those guys and have those other pieces complement us.
Corey?
Hey, Coach, we hear defensive players continually talking about the word communication. So just curious, what's not getting communicated? And is they're the ones on the field, is it up to them to fix it?
You know, we just have always preached – you know, communication, you know, somebody giving a call, somebody getting a call. And I try to go back to the fundamentals and what I believe in and what I felt like as a player was critical, was that you're trying to find a way to talk to the guy next to you and help them, help them do their job, help them help you do yours. You know, so just by being a noisy defense, maybe pointing something out. And again, that's why we turn the music on at practice. And so once they get the call, you know, they have to be the ones that execute it. And sometimes they're like, hey, coach, that wasn't necessarily right. Yeah, well, it was right because everybody was playing the same call. Everybody was doing the same thing. And that's a testament to the players. And then they have to make sure that, you know, when that's not getting done, you know, that they're asking why and they're holding each other accountable. And so that everybody's executing the call the way that, you know, it's designed.
Coach, I got Terry's question. He's asking about Derek's involvement in the offense and if he needs to be more involved in the passing game and maybe more touches like he did earlier in the season.
I'm sure that that's, you know, potentially something that we can do. I think Derek's worked hard on catching the football. We try to get him some of those screen passes and things like that and try to take advantage of what his skill set is. And trying to get him the ball, you know, in areas where he's running. Like you saw in Houston, you know, they just chose not to cover him and Ryan found him as he was kind of leaping out of the backfield. So we'll keep working on finding ways to get our guys the football, whether we hand it to him or throw it to him.
Jared?
Yeah, Mike, you always say after losses that you need to evaluate everything from the coaching and need to coach better. What specifically do you think, you know, special teams and defense needs to be coached better?
Just, you know, checks and communication, the technique, and make sure that we're showing them the right technique so that they can go out there and do their job and they can win one-on-one.
And also down 17 last night with about 7 minutes to go, you went for it on fourth down. Was that because you didn't trust Steve at that point?
No, that was because I was just trying to score and you know, get a touchdown. And, you know, I knew that it was fourth down. Brad had announced that it was second down earlier in the drive. The marker said second down, you know, and the guy next to me came in and changed it. But it wasn't that we didn't trust Steven.
A couple of follows. Buck?
With how quickly the quarterbacks that you've been playing have been getting rid of the football, Mike, how do you think that the secondary has done with taking away the first read for the offense there?
None of us are, you know, when you lose, nobody's done, you know, well enough, Buck. Nobody's done a good enough job of taking away, you know, doing anything that would be good enough to help us win. And that's the approach that we have to take. And so there's times where the ball comes out quick. We have to recognize that, try to get our hands up, you know, try to match those routes when they're in zone coverage and be tight and be tight on them when they're, you know, in man coverage.
Paul?
Does this mini buy allow you any time advantages on roster churn if you want to bring people in, Mike, or is the timetable for that mandated that it's a Monday look at people?
I don't want to misspeak, Paul, but I don't think that that's I don't think that it's mandated that way. You know, I think that the most important thing is that you get them in here and they have to go through the onboarding process of, you know, the 5 days or whatever that may be. I do know that there is a limit to the amount of players that you can bring in to try out, which I think is 5 players based on your number of injured players or people on injured reserve. I think the more guys that you might have hurt, you would maybe get an exemption. But I think that they've changed some of those protocols as far as the amount of guys that you could bring in for workouts.
You have anybody coming in today?
Not that I know of yet. I'm not sure.
Last one, Teresa.
Mike, you've got five of the final seven are on the road. This team last year at least showed that it could play well away from home. How much is that going to have to come into play for you all to get to where you want to this season?
I would say that no matter where we play, Teresa, we're just going to have to play better. We're going to have to coach better and be ready to, you know, get going. You know, I mean, we're in this thing, but you're going to have to, you know, have to win games against, you know, a really good Ravens team, and that's our focus. And so, no matter where they are, you know, we're going to have to play better and coach better and find ways to win football games.
There you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the 34-17 loss last night to the Colts. Colts move into first place in the AFC South, and that was brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, we'll talk to Terry McCormick, who was not his best moment, his shiny moment either. We'll talk to him.
He's not
going to
be on with us via Zoom, is he?
I
hope not.
It'll be a very short interview.
Let's go old school. Let's go phone, just
but
to be
sure. We're going to get to the bottom of what happened in that press conference with Terry McCormick to start the next hour. But it was, I was a little bit surprised that it was a lot of the same we've heard all year. Also, that when the heat got turned up a little bit, he also kind of shut down as well. Is that fair to say?
Yep. I think, he totally shut down. I mean, you could tell he was, I'm not going to say going through the motions, but he was giving a lot of coach speak answers. And, you know, I tweeted out, you know, how many of the play better, coach better are we going to hear? And that's what he ended with. So, yeah, I thought he did. Ended with that. But there was something that really popped at me when he kind of got defensive and he said, you know, we don't have the luxury to second guess ourselves when we make a decision. And he referenced the media and how the media is able to do that and they do their jobs. You know, he was trying to kind of praise the media there. But
no, I don't think he was praising. I think he was actually gigging the media.
Well,
I took it differently.
Sure.
But I think it was a subtle jab.
Right. And it's absolutely true what he's saying is the fans and the media do second guess. That's part of why we love sports,
question.
Right? And it's true that the coaches have to make the decisions and live with the decisions.
So right.
There's nothing wrong with saying that. It's just you could tell it's just very raw.
But he wasn't praising
I'm not really
media.
Sure.
But here's my point.
I'm surprised he did this at 10:30, to be honest. I mean, after a night game to come back at 10:30, he probably hasn't slept. I don't know. It just didn't seem like he was really in a place where he could really talk about this stuff yet.
My whole point is, okay, yeah, you don't have the luxury to second guess, but should we, meaning the media and the fans, really be trusting you, the people that are making the guess in the first place? That's the whole issue here. And I don't have a problem with, you know, he doesn't want to call people out in public. He wants to handle everything behind the scenes. But then the same problems keep coming up. And so when that keeps happening, then, yeah, you should get second guessed. And you should have to answer those questions even though you don't want to. Because the same damn things are popping up week after week. Special teams has been atrocious. The defense has had issues. You have no pass rush in the secondary. They've had their problems as well. The same things keep popping up, yet you want to say that you don't have the luxury to second guess yourself. Well, I'm sorry, Mike, but that's what's going to happen. If you don't have a good answer, it's going to keep coming up.
Well, when you say the coaching's got to get better and these are the results every week, then you have to answer. It's just words at that point. It's not actions.
Right.
It's words. You're just saying you're just going through the motions with your words. And that's all they are. They're hollow words of we got to coach better, we got to play better. Well, guess what? If it's not changing, then that's not working. So it's just words. It's not actions. I mean, I'll tell you something we haven't even talked about. I saw Keith Bullock's – I don't know. Did anybody see Keith Bullock's tweet last night? When you say Keith Bullock kind of knows defense and kind of knows how the game is played on that side of the ball, would you say that's a fair assessment? When you trust
obviously,
what Keith Bullock has to say?
Yes.
He was pretty irate with how the secondary guys, in particular, the fourth and two, Kevin Byard was playing about 7-8 yards off, and he was, if you could scream, I think he was screaming on Twitter.
Yeah.
It is time for these guys in the secondary to stop playing so far. He wants them to press. Right. He wants them to, he said, I would be screaming at those guys
I'll be honest.
Get up there. And by the way, that's coaching. Well, that goes back to coaching, and he's saying he's been seeing that all year. Once again, it's coaching. If you're just saying we got to coach better, we got to play. Well, if it's not changing, then it is one. It's fair to ask why it's not changing.
Well, they have, in fairness, I'm trying to look at what they've changed. Because no matter when you're not getting the job done, no matter what you say, it's not going to go over very well, especially if the results have been the same now for about four games, particularly on defense. They have tried to make some personnel changes. They got rid of Beasley. They brought in Desmond King. They made a trade for. They've tried to move pieces around. They've made a ton of moves, you know, from the practice squad and bringing in guys for tryouts. It's not like they're not doing anything to change the personnel, but it hasn't kicked in. The one thing, though, Darren, I will grant you, it's not just Keith Bullock. If you listen to a lot of the former Titans, they do all seem to get on that thing. And we've talked about it. The bend but don't break philosophy, they've been determined not to give up big plays. And in doing so, they have left their defense out on the field. They've left their offense on the sideline. And they have given up a ton of long, sustained drives that chew up the clock. And it's not the bend but don't break isn't working. At least it definitely hasn't the last 4 weeks, but it really, you could argue, it hasn't happened all year. Would you guys agree? The bend but don't break is the philosophy of the defense. You can see it every week. They give ground. They play soft coverage. They give you the underneath stuff. And it has not been effective largely.
But his whole point is, how do you do that on fourth and two? Like, you can't play 7-8 yards back on fourth and two.
At some point, you got to have enough confidence. Now, I think if you listen to Floyd's point is, when you don't have a Dory Jackson, you don't have Christian Fulton, you had Jonathan Joseph, these are the guys they're shuttling in and out. They got practice squad guys like Borders they're bringing in. That what's happening is they're spreading the field, they don't have enough pass rush, and they're just picking off the easy matchup. Right, Phillip Rivers looked 5 years younger last night because he didn't have to do anything. He just picked out the matchup he liked.
Looked like he was back in San Diego.
So when you don't have a pass rush and you don't have guys who are really good coverage guys, it's kind of pick your poison, right? You can't play if I'm trying to guard Michael Jordan, I can't play him tight. I'm gonna get beat, so I have to play off. And so what does he do? He's going to shoot threes all day, and I have to give it up. What am I going to do? I can't get up on him without fouling him. I think that's sort of what's happening, right? And the only way I can get help is if I can rush the quarterback, which they can't do. So that's the dilemma every week.
We've got some college football breaking news when it comes to our underdog picks. Uh-oh. It's happened to Kelly again.
Oh, no.
Looks like the cases at Arizona State are going to force the cancellation of Arizona State Cal. He took Cal plus 3.5. But here's the interesting twist to this. If other games in the Pac-12 get canceled, there's a chance, because Cal can play, there's a chance they might play against somebody else. So, Commissioner,
with one day notice?
From people that cover the Pac-12, that's what I'm reading. I don't know.
Different. My guess is anybody they
just
play,
need to
they,
bag it.
They would be favored.
And tell Kelly to pick something else.
I'd is say that so. The, yes.
Okay. Well, we'll
we might
to
want
to
wait till tonight to see if there's any more cancellations, because there might be.
Well, according to this, there could be
13 games this week.
How do you do that? So, I mean, they're really saying that Cal could still play. And it could be against somebody else who has their game canceled in the Pac-12.
Maybe a high school team.
I've got to be honest. That's probably one of the weirdest things I've ever heard when it comes to a football, right?
13 games have been canceled. So you have probably several teams that thought they had a game that don't. I don't know if you could pull it together that quick, though.
You practice all week.
Herm Edwards has tested positive. Oh, boy.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Arizona State is where the problem is, and it's not Cal. But you practice all week to face the Sun Devils, and then it's switched and you're playing Washington the day before? What about the game plan? How do you do that?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Pickup game.
All right, we're gonna talk about more about what happened last night and get to the bottom of what happened in this presser with Terry McCormick. That's to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps, in line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Casino, America's social casino.